Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Friday, March 29th. If you are a believer in Jesus, one day you will experience a resurrection. Today, we'll be reminded how that promise should impact how we live right now.
Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable shall put on imperishable, or must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then when I came to this 58th verse, and I'd been reading through these verses for quite some time, really convicted me. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, when I see folks who are sloppy in their Christian life, don't want to serve God, just want to come be entertained, just entertain me, Pastor, let me hear another good sermon. Spectatorism. Want to give a little bit, pray a little bit, listen a little bit, be entertained. I want to tell you, my friend, that is absolutely and diametrically opposed to everything Jesus taught and everything Paul the Apostle explained about the life of Jesus Christ in these epistles. This is God. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe this book's inspired? How much of it? Cover to cover? How much of it was written for you? You really believe that? All right. Listen to what he says. How many of you saved? So that makes you one of the brethren, right? Listen to what he says. Therefore, dearly beloved brethren, you are to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord's not in vain. You know what? The way some people serve the Lord, you think it's all in vain. Convenient Christians. Convenient Christianity. Love God and all these things. Just don't interfere with any of my convenience. I don't mind going to church on Sunday morning once in a while. I don't mind giving a little bit and praying. Don't mind the sermons unless it's just so they're not too personal. Don't mind all that. Just don't bother me. I want to tell you, my friend, I believe a lot of folks sitting in pews are going straight to hell. They don't have any earthly idea what it's all about. Listen to what he says. Therefore, my beloved brethren, based on what? Now watch this. Based on the fact that God Almighty loved you and me enough to send his only begotten Son to atone for our sins, that he's loved us enough to assure us and ensure us of our resurrection, a transformed body, likened unto his body, to spend eternity with Almighty God in heaven forever and ever and ever, conquering death eternally. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord's not in vain. I want to ask you a question. How under God's heaven, in God's name, can we be spectators of the faith of God's great word when we have been given so much? It's a good question, isn't it? How can we be spectators when we've been given so much? Do you know what that says? This brand of Christianity that is only committed to the line of convenience. Listen, if I'm saved, I'm going to be convicted over sin. If I'm not saved, I can be religious and not saved. I can even be good and not saved to some degree. I can be acceptable to others. I can be a kind sort of a fellow, nice, and all those words that don't mean anything. I can be all that and be just as lost as if I never heard the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to think about something. Almighty God set up a plan. His plan is that his body would evangelize the world. He gave us Christ as a pattern. He gave us Christ as a salvation. He gave us the Holy Spirit to indwell us. He's made us every single promise. We don't have any problem. There's not a single need you and I have He's not made a promise for. So would you agree that Almighty God has absolutely and totally and completely and adequately prepared us for life here to serve Him? Amen? Amen. Then wonder why we're not doing it. If God has done all this for us, and His big plan is that we evangelize the world and that we share our faith and we be willing to sacrifice if necessary, what has happened to the body of Christ? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast in the work of the Lord, immovable in the work of the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Now, let me explain what these words mean. Look at that, if you will. When he says steadfast, what is he talking about? He's talking about something that is firmly fixed, that is settled, that is seated. When he says steadfast, he's talking about a commitment to the work of God, to the labor of the Lord that is not affected by the rain, the cold, whether you have air conditioned or cushion pews or not, has nothing to do with this at all. Steadfast, listen, notice what he's talking about. He's talking about the work of the Lord. And he says, in the work of the Lord, be steadfast, reliable, hanging in there. You are there whether it's convenient or not convenient. You can be counted on regardless of the circumstances. You're not there because it's convenient. You're there serving the living God because you understand who He is and you are motivated by the living presence of Jesus Christ within you. He said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now look at that next word. He says steadfast, and the word immovable means unshakable in our faith. Now listen to me. He says that if we're going to serve the Lord, and he's not saying if we are, but rather he says as servants of God. Now listen. Listen, the truth is from God's point of view, we're all on the same level. Preachers on up there and you down here, we're all on the same level. We're all saints. We just have different roles in life. If you're a school teacher and that's what God's given you to do, you are just as much a servant of God in the school as I'm a servant of God here in the church. Man's the one who's put folks up here and put folks down here. That's not the way God sees it at all. So when he says, be ye steadfast and immovable, he's not talking to preachers. He's talking to saints because God sees us all on the same level. When he says steadfast, that is fixed. Fixed in your commitment, fixed in your purpose to serve the living God. When he says immovable, that means unshakable in your faith. You know why most folks can be deceived by the cults? Because they don't know what they believe. Let me ask you a question. What would it take to shake your faith? I'll tell you something. Some of you could have your faith shaken a little bit more easily than you think you could. Because listen to me carefully. You know why most folks go to church in America? It's real simple. Salve their conscience. The majority of people who go to church don't go to church because they're hungry for God, thirsting to know Him, can't wait to hear one more principle laid upon their heart to equip them better to serve the living God. But let me ask you a question. What are you doing about what you're hearing? He said, be ye steadfast. Unshakable in your faith. Now watch this. Always criticizing, is that what he said? Always complaining, always dragging your feet, always trying to get out of more work. When he says, you know what abounding means? That means, listen, abounding in the work of the Lord says, man, bring me on some more. Give me some more. Just tell me what you want me to do. We shouldn't ask how little can we get by with, but abounding in the work of the Lord, giving it all God's got within us to give. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Friend, the truth is that God owns your life. You know the truth is, listen, if you and I sat down and just real simply analyzed what Jesus said, most of us have to stick our head in a hole for about 6 weeks in pure confession and repentance. He's made it so simple. He says, you don't belong to you. Who in the world are we to tell God what we're not going to do when we don't even belong to ourselves anyway? Abounding in the work of the Lord. Listen, what does that verse say? Saints, Be ye steadfast, hanging in there, unshakable in your faith. Man, I mean giving it all you've got in the work of the Lord. Now I have a confession to make. When I got to this verse right here, God just worked on me. Put me on my face for several hours. Listen to this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And all of a sudden, dawned on me what I'd been doing. He didn't say, in your work for the Lord, Charles Stanley, you're working for God. He didn't even say, in your work with the Lord. You and he not companions and you all doing this thing together. He said, in the work of the Lord. It's not my work. And I'll have to confess that many times I've worked for me, I've worked for the Lord, I've worked with the Lord, and still I struggle at times of allowing him to do his thing in and through my life. And it dawned on me that every morning when I get up and I get down to pray and talk to the Lord, I'm always saying to him, Lord, I'm just reporting for duty. You just show me. I'm coming to you in all the sincerity of my heart. He knew what I was meaning, but I know what I was saying. I was saying, Lord, whatever you want me to do today, I'm just reporting for duty. I'm available to you, whatever you want today. Yesterday morning when I was down praying, just like the Lord said to me, I want you to rephrase that. From now on, you say to me, Lord, how do I fit into your plans today? What do you want to do through me today? This is God's work. And once in a while, somebody thinks, we're doing it for the preacher, friend. No. No, 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 no. This is God's house. This is God's church. This is God's work. And as I read that verse, that little phrase over and over and over again, in the work of the Lord, it's the Lord's work. It's not my work. And I don't mind confessing there have been times in my life when I've worked for God and worked for God and worked for God and worked for God and gotten weary and worn and troubled working for God. I discovered in my life that I made a big mistake. I used to read all the biographies of all the great preachers and so forth, and I'd learn this principle from this one and this one from the other one and this one from this one. Then I'd put them all together, and I guess I must have thought that I've got to be the best of all of that. There's no way. It's the work of the Lord. It's not our work. And I'm learning that. I'm not going to say that I've learned that. I'm in the process of learning that it's His work. Now, I know that in my mind. But so often, I get up, I load up, go to work for God. That's as unscriptural as it can be. But it's the way we think. That's the way I grew up, and that's the way I was taught. Go to work for God. Wrong. He says, listen, be steadfast, unshakable, abounding in the work of the Lord. You know why I didn't say in your work or working for God? Because he knew oftentimes when we take it upon, if it's our work, we won't stay very steadfast very long. We won't be very unshakable at times, and we certainly won't abound very long because we get worn out doing it in our strength. But I want you to notice what he says. When he says abounding in the work of the Lord, I believe what Paul is saying here is something that I think is very, very significant to us. And that is, if I am serving the Lord God Almighty, and I am an obedient servant of His, that I am to walk in the resurrection power of Jesus as an available vessel for Him to do His resurrection work in and through me, so that's not my work. Shouldn't be my effort. And I know the difference when I'm doing it in His strength and in my own. And you see, some types of personalities have more trouble with that than others. Now, there are some folks who say, man, just relax and let Jesus do it. No. If there's one thing this verse says, it says that I have a responsibility. And my responsibility is to be steadfast, unshakable, abounding in His work. That is, I am to be a living, vibrant vessel available to the living Christ to do through us what He so chooses. And the truth is, if we are available, you know what will happen? The resurrection power of Jesus Christ will make us steadfast in the work. He'll make us unshakable in the work. And He'll make us abounding in the work. And I believe the evidence here is very clear. If a child of God is not steadfast, and if they are not unshakable, and if they're not abounding in the work of the Lord, they're not walking in the Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Listen, when it comes to the Great Commission, does God skip folks? Does He just say, number 1, 5, 7, 12, 39, 49, 100, 269? Are we the only folks that that applies to? Then, friend, if it applies to all of us, so does this verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor. Now, watch this. Your labor won't be empty, useless, and fruitless. Look in Revelation chapter 22 and look at this. One last verse and then I close. Listen. Chapter 22, verse 12. Jesus said, I'm coming, and I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. Now, you think about it. It's your life, which is really His life. And I simply want to ask you a question, my friend. Listen to me. The resurrection's future, how far future it is, we don't know. But I just want to ask you a question. As a born-again child of the living God, indwelt by the very being of Jesus Christ, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, living in the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ within us, living with the hope of heaven, empowered by the Holy Spirit, having been commissioned by Jesus Christ, having been equipped to serve the living God. Are you committed to being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that it's not in vain, but when He comes, He will reward you for your work done in His blessed name? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, the truth is we ought to all be ashamed of ourselves. We offer you so many excuses and little petty things that must grieve your heart. We start telling you why we can't do this and why we can't do that, when you know that you have equipped us and empowered us and energized us and blessed us beyond even our own comprehension. And Lord, I know in my own heart, I know what it means to walk and to serve you in resurrection power, divine supernatural energy that cannot be measured and seems to have no end. And then I know what it means to wear myself out doing it my own way. I want to thank you for your patience to keep on teaching me. And Lord, my prayer is that you'll utilize this message tonight and just sink it way down inside, God. Let it take root. Let it work in the mind, the spirit, the emotions, the will, the action of every single person who's heard it. And Father, I pray that you'll put the fear, that is the reverence for the judgment in our hearts, that we might understand the seriousness of being a Christian and that ultimate and final day of accountability. And this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to part two of The Challenge of the Resurrection. For more inspirational messages like this, visit our online 24/7 station. And if you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or InTouch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of InTouch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.